first time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
The look I got from Robert.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep, I guess that was the purpose of that song, because I didn't see it going that direction.
I forget who that is.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Craig Campbell. So,
you know, I won't download it anytime soon.
Go to iTunes and download it. Pay for the song. It's a great song. First time I've heard them listening. Okay, yeah, all right. Well, anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair here. We got Robert in the chair across me, and in the guest seat today, we have. Let's see.
What's his name again?
I know his name. And it's not Daryl, it's not Darwin, it's not Bill, it's kind of a mix of those. Oh, yeah, what's his name over here? Brian, this is Brian Ball.
And Captain Brian Ball.
Gotta tell you, the crowd loves you, buddy. Look out, wave to the audience.
Thank you.
It's almost like hitting that home run in high school again, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the crowd jumping up and down, cheering you on.
I liked it.
I can see you were, you know, like the guy in high school hitting home runs.
Every now and then.
He went to college on a baseball scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Not hitting home runs and hopefully not giving up a bunch. I was a pitcher.
Oh. Okay.
But he was one of the smart ones. He actually went to college and got a degree and everything.
That's right. Got a little piece of paper. Says I did it. Baiting hooks.
So how many times were you hit in the head with that baseball to make you become a fishing guide?
Actually, funny story. I was in Team 1 Nationals in Arizona. This was back, my father was going through some hard times health-wise, so I was out there by myself. 17 years old in Tempe, Arizona, all by myself in a hotel room. Pitching in front of scouts, and the first inning I struck out the side, and the second inning, in these particular showcases, you get 2 innings, you know, as a pitcher. I struck out the first batter, so that was 4 in the row. I got a ground ball for just a routine out, and the next pitch the ball was hit clean off of my head into right field. So
you got smacked in the head with the ball and it still went all the way to right field.
Yes, sir. So they come out there and they're like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. One more out. You know, I'm fine. They're like, all right, we'll get a couple warm-up pitches. The first one that I threw was about 20 feet off the backstop behind home plate in a major league stadium. So you can imagine how, like, yeah, out of realm that was, and they said, "Ah, I think you're good, man. We're gonna go ahead and shut you down." So I'm sitting in the hospital there in Arizona. They wanted to do like some scans on me, and a scout for the Baltimore Orioles comes in there just to check on me. He's like, "Hey, man, I just wanted to come see you and let you know you did a great job there for the first inning and 2/3." He goes, "You want to know what your hardest pitch was?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, what was it?" He goes, 94, you know which one it was? And I'm like, "Nah, not really." He goes, "It was your warm-up pitch after you got hit in the head. That guy must have pissed you off." He said, "The only problem, it was, you know, off the backstop." So we chuckled about that for a while. But that's really the only time I ever got hit in the head. I've had him bounce off my back and stuff like that, but
I was just curious because now you're a fishing guide, and it usually takes some kind of traumatic experience in life to put you in the fishing industry.
That's right.
All right, getting into the fishing industry, I guess we're going to talk about, Brian, you are a charter boat captain. What's your phone number?
941-815-1758.
All right, so I'll stick that on here,
941-815-1758.
1758. Okay, so now they got to hear it a few times, and I got to type it in so I don't forget what it was. All right. So anyway, real live charter boat captain, genuine, authentic imitation of one, if nothing else. So being a genuine, authentic imitation of a charter boat captain, you've been on the water here recently.
I have.
Not dumb enough to be out there today, though.
I hope. I was dumb enough to be out there yesterday, and I can tell you it was windy yesterday. You know, the main focus of everyone that I fish this time of year is tarpon for the most part. And it's been, you know, we've had some really good days and we've had some bad days. It's been fishing. You know, when we get some consistent weather and it's not blown, which really hasn't happened for 2017, the fishing, you know, gets pretty good. The, you know, to the south, down off Captiva has been good. But it honestly has just been really weather dependent where we're fishing.
Gotcha. Now, I've been hearing a lot about the stories. Now, I was out, I don't remember what day it was, a couple days
Sunday.
Ago, Sunday. And, you know, I had an hour to catch a shark, and we got two small sharks. We didn't really try for much else. And it's been a little on and off out there from what I hear.
Yeah, I would say that's an accurate assessment. I've been getting some pretty good reports from buddies just fishing up in the river. You know, our salinity level's so high right now from the lack of rain up until the last week. We really hadn't had any rain at all. You know, as far as fishing in the river being good, snook, redfish, even tarpon, a lot of tarpon up there right now.
Right.
That's right behind your house.
Yeah. I didn't see any tarpon. Now, I did not go above, you know, above my house. We went from there. We went over to Shell Creek. We went down to, you know, I-75 and stuff like that. But I didn't go up. So most of the, if there's fish there, they're going to have to be above, you know, above that, because I didn't see them there.
Yeah, most of these guys are fishing a little bit further up.
Up above the navigator and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not bad. So anyway,
and your home base is out of Pine Island.
Correct. Yeah, that's a long way from there.
I was going to say, what's a Pine Island boy doing, you know, up on the river there? I didn't think you guys were allowed to go there without a visa.
That's right. Yeah, we got to get a hall pass to get up there.
Yes. So, outside of that, what's been going on?
You know, a few fish starting to show up in the passes as far as, like, snook fishing. You know, the tarpon, Boca Grande Pass, obviously, he's got a bunch of fish in it. Well, it did until about 5 hours ago. There's probably none in there now, with the way the wind's blowing on it. That, like I said, that's pretty much been the focus, you know. Get up early, start at 6, do the beach, you know, first light, and then just kind of see where the dust settles and go from there.
All right. So if you're going to go out tarpon fishing right now, you're starting out on the barrier islands, running up and down the Gulf, which you're not going to do today because you die. But that's kind of the first place to start.
Yeah, that's, you know, depending on what the tide's doing, it definitely plays a role in where the fish are going to be.
All right, now why do you pick the Gulf of Mexico to start? Why running the beaches to start?
Well, with the wind that we've had over, like, the last week, you know, first thing in the morning, it's out of the east or, like, southeast, so it leaves the, you know, beach is one of the calmest areas, easiest to see, and, you know, get out there and try to get a couple quick bites.
With the water clarity the way it is and everything else, it's just
right.
Much easier to do that.
Yeah, the sound's pretty muddy just because of the, you know, south and then west winds that we're getting later in the afternoon for the past week. It kind of clouds it all up. So I haven't really been spending too much time fishing on the inside down there.
Now, I got a quick question because I'm looking for your logo. What's your website?
TarponFishingSWFL.com.
Okay.
Southwest Florida.
Okay. All right. Well, it says Facebook. There it is. I think that's the right one. Yeah. Trying to steal a logo for this. Now, if I'm going to go out and you've got like a snook inside of a tarpon logo.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on the radio fishing thing here and it'll link.
Right on.
going out, and now, are you finding it's, when you're leaving Pine Island, you hit Boca Grande Pass, you're going north or going south?
The last 3 days I've gone south.
All right. Boy, you're making this really easy on me. Okay. So, you're getting out, you're going south. So, you're finding more fish but from Boca Grande down towards Captiva, Sanibel.
Yeah, the last few days. For some reason, you know, I don't know if the fact they're doing a bunch of work up around Stump Pass right now, dredging. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. They're redoing the whole pass. And once you get above Little Gasparilla Pass, which I love fishing up that way just because there's usually not the number of boats, it just has not produced hardly anything. Now, I don't know if the fish just don't like being in that muddy water from them disturbing the pass or what it is, but it seems like the bigger concentration of fish are to the south so far.
Now, you think all that construction is actually messing them up like that, huh?
I mean,
they don't seem to like the muddy water most of the time.
Right.
You know, it's just like in Pine Island Sound when it gets all silted in with this wind, you don't see the numbers. You see a lot more individual fish.
Right.
Than you do groups, it seems like. You know, that's what I've noticed over the years.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that's the main reason why, Boca Grande Pass is having so many fish in it, and then when we get these big blows like this, that's why they leave. They don't want to sit in there in all that dirty water, just sitting targets for all the sharks to sit there and pluck away at them. And, I mean, they just don't seem to like to be in muddy water.
Well, and it
that unless they're making it themselves.
Right.
Now, with the muddy water, it could be simply they can't see when the predators are coming up on them.
Correct. I think that's probably plays a big role in it.
Now, when you're cruising the beach, are you just zigzagging along, going in towards shore and then out towards the Gulf, kind of looking for either rolling fish or something like that?
I usually like to try to pick a stretch, you know, where I'll actually come off plane and idle, you know, instead of just burning the whole beach down, running, you know, like a wild man all over. I like to just kind of slow it down a little bit and see what I can and find that way, you know, generally get close to the beach and look out, especially with the east wind.
Okay. You find it a little better to look out away from the shoreline because the sun's not in your face that way.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I know last week there was a lot of fish out there at like 2 to 3 miles outside the pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Closer to Captiva than to Boca.
Correct, yeah. That was from the last little blow that we've had.
And they're kind of right out the edge of where it cleared up.
Yeah,
they were kind of moving back and forth in and out of that darker water to the cleaner water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll get out there, you know, almost like on a color break, you know, but it's mud, basically.
Yeah, it's almost like you're looking for that oddball water color change, like if you're out pelagic fishing.
Correct.
Okay. Well, what are you throwing for bait at them?
When they get out deep like that, you know, crab's always house favorite, but do real well with, you know, big pinfish or even like a live threadfin, something maybe with a little split shot on it, get it down to the fish, especially, I mean, you're fishing 30 foot of water or something like that where you're talking, so.
Right.
Kind of hard to get a free line crab to swim down there when there's a couple hundred fish trying to eat.
And it's amazing how many people don't use like a split shot or a rubber core sinker, even up on the hill when they're fishing in 18 feet of water. There's a lot of times that can make a giant difference. I've used it in the harbor even.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I've found, you know, even fishing the holes up in the north end of Charlotte Harbor, you know, you'll see scattered fish rolling and everyone will be dragging baits on corks. And you put one out there with, like you said, like a rubber core or something a couple feet up, and it makes all the difference in the world. As long as you keep the catfish off it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always the trick.
Yeah. It's funny how them cats like to jump on anything down close to the bottom. Now, you experiencing as much with the catfish for as far as float fishing?
Just, you know, depending on where you're fishing. The beaches and, you know, Pine Island Sound and stuff like that, catfish usually aren't like a huge issue. The harbor, on the other hand, as well, I know you know, Frank, just because you've growing up fishing up that way, the catfish can be so bad that basically you can fish with catfish or nothing.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna catch catfish. Yeah, and the black tip sharks can get bad up there at times when those big schools of threadies are up there, and you know it makes it a real struggle to keep a bait out there long enough for what you're targeting to eat it.
Now, how's the sound itself been for other stuff, like any redfish or snook or trout activity that you're hearing about?
Yeah, the trout fishing's been fairly decent. I haven't done hardly any red fishing down there in the last like month. I did do some snook fishing here in the last couple weeks. It produced some, you know, good action. Same stuff, you know, average fish like 20 to 25 inches, nothing crazy big, but good numbers and, you know, a lot of fun. Those are some trips with some younger kids, so it produced good fun for them.
Now, I'm going to jump back to tarpon for a minute. Now, what you're looking at right now is kind of a split where you've got fish way upriver. I'm getting great reports on and off from the Coosahatchee, from Cape Coral, all the way up to the Trestles and the power plant, and then on the Peace River from, you know, Harbor Heights on up and all over that. And then almost nothing until you get back out to Boca Grande Pass or the beaches.
Right.
Is it as split up as what it appears?
I don't know if it's because of the fish are split up or just the people are not in between, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's really putting the time in up there in the harbor and the mouth of the Myakka and all that.
I see guys out there. Every time I've gone through, I've been through the harbor now probably four times recently.
Right.
Every time I've gone through, somebody's working the west side, or I was coming up the west side Sunday after the day was over and almost ran over probably 40 some odd inch cobia.
Nice.
I mean, I had circled around, a bunch of manatees popped up, so I circled around trying to get so my cousin could see the manatees, because we were at Cabbage Key. Literally, manatee came right under the boat. I said, look right there, it is. She's like, where? I said, right there. I mean, 2 feet below your face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard when you're not used to looking for stuff to see it. But so she missed that one. So I'm heading home and I saw the manatees spun around. I fire the boat up after seeing the manatees, and I go to kick up on plane. I'm making kind of a little, I was pointing kind of east. I want to go north, and I'm making kind of a swoop. And I look down on the side of the boat right as it's spinning. Here's that cobia just veering off to the side to avoid the boat coming into him.
Nice.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't even going to try and stop fish for
that,
him.
That would have been good for dinner.
Yeah, there was no way. I mean, when you almost bang him with the boat, you pretty much figure he's out of there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Frank, my experience with the harbor, if you don't have excellent conditions as far as, you know, slicked out calm, which we haven't had at all, really, except for a couple days here and there, the harbor is a really tough place to fish. It's like needle in a haystack. You know, you get up there, and until a little bit later in the year when you get some big numbers of fish up there, you can be fishing in a ghost town. I haven't got any good reports from anybody up there, and like I said, the people that I network with, is the reason I'm not getting reports is there's just nobody up there fishing that I talk to.
Right.
I'm sure there is people fishing.
I haven't seen anybody hooking up. I see a lot of people sitting on the areas, on the holes, over on the west side, all that. But I'm not seeing any hookups. But that, like you said, doesn't mean they're not there. It just means either, A, the people there are not lucky, but I've seen a lot of boats up in there. I just wonder why that is, Robert. Why would it be such a split? Because I don't think there's much fish in the middle between them. Way upriver and all the way out at the beaches?
I think one of the major problems is that the threadies just haven't dumped in yet up into good numbers in that upper end of the harbor. They've been moving in and then moving right back out. You know, I'll have 2 or 3 days of reports of guys saying that they're seeing some threadies out there. And they're not dimpling on the surface real heavy. They're staying down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll see them today, and then they won't see them for the next 2 days, because a lot of those guys, like you said, that are out there looking, you know, they're seeing some activity, but they're very inconsistent with the threadfin reports. And that's about the only thing I can think of, because the Spanish kind of seem to come in little groups about the same time as you hear about the threadfins. You'll hear about the
now
Spanish.
I'm getting on and off sporadic reports of Spanish here and there, but very, very few. Ladyfish are tough to find, but now, I don't know. I'm not sure. But, you know, I've never seen the...
I've never seen
Spanish
it this split.
Mackerel, you know, and then the tarpon come in. You know, and I've reeled up trout and caught tarpon, reeled up ladyfish and caught tarpon. I've never reeled in a Spanish mackerel and had a tarpon head at it. Have you, right. Brian?
No, I can't say I have. The other two, yes, but
once.
Never a mackerel.
A mackerel?
Once.
And you had a tarpon head at it. You just had to ruin my whole thing, didn't you?
Hey, the first...
isn't it just like him? I'm sitting here, you know, going along with this neat little, you know, little thing, and what is he going to do? Screw the whole thing up.
Hey, 30 years ago, I met a kid out at El Jobin. And that's all he liked to fish for was a tarpon, and his favorite bait was Spanish mackerel fillets.
Yeah. Oh,
no. You know,
just don't tell the FWC that.
Well, no, and I get that, but I mean, this is literally like 30 years ago, 25, 30 years
back
ago. But
then it was legal.
It was just interesting because I never would have thought that. Just like I've never, back then, I would have never thought about dead baiting for tarpon.
It is a great,
So it was just something neat to learn.
It's oily. But
that one and only time reeling in a Spanish mackerel, and we had them all chummed up behind the boat, and as we're reeling one in, it got crushed.
All right. So, right now, is there a better bait than other ones for the tarpon?
I would say crab's probably the number one choice right now.
Crab's still number one.
Yep.
The hardest bait there is to get.
Yeah, and this has been a weird year. We're not seeing much tarpon. I contract with 5 different sources, and I'm lucky to get 1 or 2 shipments a week.
Much crab, for the crabs,
yeah. For as far as the crabs, it's really tough to get crabs this year.
I think the rain has a big factor in that. A lot of those creeks and stuff aren't dumping, so.
Well, you know, here's something true, and it's Wednesday. We're supposed to get a ton of rain. I'm going to go on fishandfranks.com here for just a second. The weather and tide, then click the regional weather, and I got connected right to NOAA's radar. It's getting closer, that rain. It might hit us tonight. It was 100 miles away, and right now it's probably 60, 80 miles away. But just 20 minutes ago, it was well over 100 miles away, but really moved in. Really, look, it's really on the way coming in. Okay, so, but if you're wondering how to find, I mean, everybody's, got radar on their phones nowadays, so.
Yeah, I started using an app for winds. It's called iKiteSurf.
Yeah,
it's amazing how accurate it is. It has a bunch of different locations, you know, for areas that you fish, and it gives an hourly breakdown. It's pretty useful.
I went back to flip phone for personal use. Now I'm switching all my work stuff over to the other cell phone because it's an iPhone, so it has all that stuff. But more and more, I leave it on my desk.
Yeah,
you know, it's my work cell. You know,
right.
So, I don't know. I'm not caring much for cell phones anymore. Throw that little flip phone in my pocket and forget about it. But I do miss the radar. That's one thing. Let's see. I was trying to think of what else.
Is there any artificials you like to throw out there, Adam?
This time of year, I don't have a whole lot of success with artificials on them. Usually, once they push up into the bay there, you know, DOA bait buster's probably my favorite. There's a couple other swim baits. Some guys, you know, like throwing hoagies and have success with them. But usually, you know, that's later on, like August, September, when they get up there and those bait balls and they're in the ladyfish. The swim baits and, you know, little bait busters seem to really produce when they're biting.
Yeah, I've been looking around. We're selling a little bit of tarpon lures, that new live target thread fin and mullet. Guys are buying those. They really like them. They're not getting fish to the boat, but they're getting hits.
Yeah.
The Savage ones, the trout that actually looks just like a mullet, that one they're doing pretty good on. Again, a lot of hits, some landings on that. And, of course, the DOA Baitbuster's doing pretty good. That one's such a staple of the industry. And it's funny because when you look at the DOA Terrorize, I'm ordering next week all the larger sizes. We're going to keep the larger size in because right now the little ones and the medium-sized ones are the number one canal tarpon bait there is. Nothing comes close.
That's awesome.
Nothing even comes close. And quarter-ounce rattle trap is another decent one. But right now I can't think of anything that's even in the same remote area, so we're going to go to a lot of the big Terrorize. And I don't know if we're going to catch much of this year with it, but I know next year, I just got to think, if the little ones eat that so well, the big ones got to eat it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just throw a little bit bigger one, and he's got all the sizes.
It's mostly what they use in the Keys. I mean, a lot of those diehard artificial guys in the Keys throw that big Terrorizer on the bridges there. But
the medium to the different sizes. Everyone here another wants bait we got to figure out where to put. We've got, what, 300 items right now waiting to go up on the walls, and we have no room for them. So Robert and I, we just moved a couple things around. We've got some of it started, and but where I'm going to put more bait busters in, because we just got a, and we got more storm lures. I probably have, between now and the next 2 months, we've got to figure out how to put 500 more items in the store.
It's crazy.
And we're already towards 11,000, 12,000 items the way it is.
Yep, it's impressive the amount of tackle this place has.
It's just crazy. This place is way too little for that. I've got to give up this office soon. I'm trying to find somebody to sell me a little travel trailer, so I'm going to bust a hole in the wall there, put a door in, and put a travel trailer out there so I can turn this into retail space.
I like it.
Yeah.
My
thinking? Office is, I got to give up to, because if I can get the rest of this stuff in, there's no way I can put another thing in the store. I've got ceiling allotted for a lot of stuff going up in the ceiling right now. So anyway, the trials and tribulations. Let's see. Now, have you fished around Matt Lachey lately?
I have not. I have not fished over that way.
Are you, you haven't been up on the river. Have you been down by St. James City?
No. Nope.
Ponarasa? Redfish Pass?
Yeah, I was down by Redfish Pass the other day. There was a few fish, tarpon again, around the pass, but not any big numbers. Seems like most of the fish were just a little bit to the north of that.
Concentrating more from between Boca and Captiva.
Yeah, and the fact that I'm seeing, I have three or four buddies that work out of Fort Myers Beach down there, and I've been seeing a lot of them, instead of them fishing Knapp's Point and, off Sanibel down there, that end, they just can't fish it. When the wind's blowing like it's been blowing, they're in the open. They can't fish
right.
It.
Right. Well, that's one nice thing about Charlotte Harbor, that on almost any day, even today, if I wanted to put the boat in, go fishing, I can go up Shell Creek. I can go up river. I could fish the canals, and even in Cape Coral, you can fish the canals, or you can find a spot out of the wind if you look. But you've got the harbor, the Gulf, the ICW, the rivers, the canals. There's so many variants here. If Absolutely. You really want to go, you can go pretty much any day until the lightning breaks out.
Right.
And you can still go in the lightning. It just means you're a dumbass. But, you can go in the lightning, And, you might be lucky. Don't you feel lucky, punk?
That's right.
So, anyway, getting back to the wide world of fishing, what's the one thing we're not talking about that we should be talking about?
Uh-huh.
Shark?
Sharks? You want to talk about sharks?
Sure.
There's no shortage of sharks. Big schools of tarpon bring big sharks. We've been having some fun with the big bulls. This time of year, the cow nose rays are pupping out like all around the passes, so there's big masses of those. And, they absolutely love. We're jamming.
Yeah, it's my cell phone.
Nice. There's that thing you were talking about hating. They love those rays. And for the typical person coming down here that's used to catching panfish, to have a creature come up beside the boat that's 7-8 feet long and a foot across the head, it's pretty impressive.
I can tell you, my cousin was pretty thrilled. She's the only thing she's ever caught is fish in a river or a pond.
Right.
And she got, to the fork, probably 30-inch black tip or black nose.
Yeah.
I didn't really look at it that close. But she was pretty excited about that. She finally had a fish that actually pulled back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on a light spinning rod, they're a lot of fun.
They are.
And then you get something 6-7 foot, and it's bound and determined that it wants to pull you in while you're trying to pull it in.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun. I wish I had more people that enjoyed it. Most of the time people are like, I don't want to mess with any sharks. Like, you don't like fishing, you don't want to catch something that's, three times the size of you and pulls hard. I don't get people sometimes.
I did really well charter fishing because I would do, I'd go out and tarpon fish, but they can be so damn finicky. You got a 4-hour boat ride a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so I would, do an hour or two of tarpon, then drop over, catch a couple of big sharks for them, and it's okay. Well, now we got, you need a rest anyway, so now let's go back and see if we can find some tarpon.
Right.
But it broke up the day a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, these hardcore tarpon guys, man, that's tough on me too, because it's a lot of stress if you're not catching fish.
Yeah.
If you're not catching fish, which can easily happen on a tarpon charter.
Absolutely, yeah. There's times, I swear, where you just are idle and looking and looking and looking, you know, just especially beach fishing can be like that, monotonous, just, you know, looking and looking. Yeah. It's just
night trips down at the bridge down here when you're on the trolling motor and you're going up and down and up and down and up and down, and you know they're going to take off at some point during the night. You've got, I would say, doing a night trip at the bridges, you're probably, what, 70-80% chance of hooking up.
Yeah.
Because if you're out there between 10 and 4 in the morning, somewhere in that range, they're probably going to go off.
Right.
You know, somewhere between 10 at night and daybreak, they're going to feed. You know, you just have to be able to wait it out, and all of a sudden, you look down, oh my God, look at all those fish rolling, busting, it's just craziness. Yep. But it takes sometimes some patience.
Yep.
And in the middle of the night, you're running that trolling motor trying not to fall asleep and crash into the bridge. Oh, you know?
Yeah, tarpon fishing can definitely test your patience. But, I mean, it's like people ask sometimes, why do you even like catching those things? Like, well, have you ever caught one? And it's pretty self-explanatory, you know.
They usually say no.
There's not too many people that have caught tarpon that, you know, said, oh, that was terrible.
I used to really love it. And now I'm old and I don't heal as well as I used to. So,
right.
You know, if
you're more a fan of like the 50, 60 pounder.
While, yeah, I get one every once in a while. It's okay. But yeah, I'm not into it. I'm really into watching other people do it and seeing them hook up and fight the fish. I mean, I've been through, you know, catching tarpon in the Gulf, in the Pass, in the Harbor, in the ICW, in the rivers. You know, I've been over and over and over it again, you know, as a, just enjoying it for myself and taking other people doing it. But now my biggest kick is taking other people. That's where I have the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
Is getting other people hooked up, watching them do it. And because, you know, and I remember what it was like. So I was out with Danny Latham one time and had a 180 pounder that never jumped.
Torture.
Oh,
tarpon God. Walking.
Yeah.
He was
the tow truck and I was the towee.
Yeah,
that was it.
It doesn't matter what kind of equipment you got either. When they're like that, it's just, there's nothing you can do. Just drag you around.
Yeah, and it's just, it was almost 3 hours, and then it takes forever to revive the fish after 3 hours because he was so heavy, and he wouldn't go deep, he wouldn't go shallow. He stayed in that perfect water for mm-hmm. him, and mile after mile of him dragging us, and he wouldn't jump. I did everything. I'd slack the line up, pull the line tight, try and get anything to get him to expend some energy, so all I had to do was drag him up. No.
Nope.
Yeah, I guess that's why you got 180 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can be torturous when they get that big. I like them right around 80. They pull hard, jump a lot, and it's over. 15 minutes out of the boat. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
The big ones hurt. But
yeah, but that's, I think that's the best reason in the world to come to Florida, is to find a fish that hurts.
Oh, yeah. We got them.
Because whether it's a Goliath grouper, one from a shark or another, tarpon, I mean, you got fish that'll hurt you here.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
To me, it is.
And I still think the best thing, and people get so upset, and it's great for my business, because when they go out and they get railed by a fish and they can't see it, they can't stop it, nothing they can do, and just peels everything off, they come in and buy bigger tackle. But to me, and they get so frustrated because they never see the fish.
Right. That's the most exciting part of the whole thing.
But how many places can you still go and you're fishing with 20-pound test braid, 4,000 spinning reel, and all of a sudden, like you didn't even have the pole. No. Like you're fishing with a Zebco 202.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just, and all your line's gone. And you're just going, what? The whole thing is just a few seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So, I just think it's spectacular. So, anyway, anything shark fishing. Now, I'm doing better south in the harbor, not as much in the north. Now, up around the Myakka, mouth of Myakka, there's some sharks up there, and up around 41, we have some sharks. I didn't find any up at I-75 the other day, but down south in the harbor between Boca Grande, going towards Burnt Store, you know, between Cape Hayes, Jug Creek, Boca Grande. If you took Boca Grande, you come straight in Jug Creek on the right, Cape Hayes on the left. I call that the Straits. Now, to me, that's where the vast majority of the sharks are.
Yeah, absolutely, especially the bigger fish. You know, fresh mullet's always a good choice. Stingray, if you have the ability to get one, they love the stench of one of those things. Nice piece of that on the bottom. Any kind of fresh, if bonita is always a great choice if you can come up
you
with
know,
it.
I got
mackerel.
All my, nothing on the sinker, nothing on the bobber, everything was on the free line.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but I never got a hit, never a touch on the bait on the bottom. And the one that was drifting under the bobber, nothing even looked at it. But the one that, the two sharks I caught were both free line.
Awesome.
And because I always put, you know, bait on the bottom, bait under a bobber, bait on the free line, because you never know which they're going to hit. And I didn't take the other ones out because it can change in an instant, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I never got a hit on the bottom or under a bobber. Both of them were on a free line bait.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it was kind of cool. Anyway, anything else we need to talk about?
What are your predictions for this weekend, being a holiday weekend, but it's that new moon? Do you think the crabs are going to flush and they'll be concentrated out there a little bit more?
I think the crabs are going to flush, and I think the people are going to concentrate. It's Memorial Day weekend, so I've been saying it for 6 years that I'm not going to fish on Memorial Day weekend, and I do it every single year and go to work and hate it just because of the number of people out there. So this weekend, I'm actually taking it off. I'm going to hang out with my family on Saturday, and I got a wedding to go to on Sunday, but I do think the fishing is probably going to be pretty good if you can find some open water, just because, you know, coming off of this little front weather that we had right here, it looks like it's going to slick out over the weekend, and we have some awesome tides, so it could produce some pretty good fishing.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens after this front. After that last front we had a little front. I'd fished the day before the front, did very well. Fished the day after the front, nothing. So if that front can hit tonight and tomorrow, that gives Friday for everything to settle down. The fish kind of get back in. Saturday should be good. Sunday even better. So I'm very hopeful for the weekend. I'm hoping to do some business. As you saw up front, there's not a lot of people out there, you know.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be a slam weekend for you. Just, it's going to be beautiful. But just when it gets real pretty like that, and it being a weekend, and on top of that, a holiday weekend, it just, the volume of people is just insane.
Yeah, and it's going to be crazy out there. But I'm not going to be out this weekend. I'm going to be in here. It's a holiday weekend. I'm going to hang out at the store and do my thing here. I'm going to work through the weekend because I got no want, need, or desire to be out there, because I have the option. I can take off on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's right. Going. That's,
you
know, right.
If I was working Monday through Friday, I'd definitely be out there, because you can find a place to go and get away from the people. You got Tippy Canoe Bay, the Myakka River, the Peace River. There's very few people up there. Peace River, there's more people on now. But the Myakka is still fairly empty, and Tippy Canoe is empty. You can fish up by Hog Island, and there's for redfish, snook, tons of snook up there. You get down south, just pick an empty spot on the wall.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was going along at the boat, and there was a couple guys fishing just south of Ponce on the flats there. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to hide that they had caught a fish, you know, holding the rod down in the water and everything. But he's reaching in the water to take out a fish. I mean, I'm not goofy. I can tell when somebody's taking off a fish. We had a, you know, there was contrast with the guy. We were coming back up towards the house and going along and look over at the boat. And for some reason, he must have spilled something on his pants, because he didn't have his pants on. He was trying to adjust the seat cushions because he kept banging against the seat cushion. I don't know what that was all about. But something, I guess the seats must have come out of the line. You know, so you never know what you're going to come up against out there, you know. So, you know, lots of interesting stuff on the water.
That's right.
Lots of interesting stuff out there. So anyway, this is Radio Fishing, kind of a hit or miss, pause and stop and go again type report. Captain Brian Ball there. he talks a little, but he catches a lot of fish.
Yeah, he does.
And Robert in the chair across from me, Captain Brian Ball, if you click the logos, obviously it will take you to his website, and his phone number's right there. Give him a call. He won't take you out this weekend, but after that, you're pretty much golden. Try and get a ride with Brian, go out and have some fun catching some big fish. We'll see you probably, I don't know if I'll do another show today, but we'll definitely do one tomorrow, and Friday we definitely have another show coming up. We've got the area fishing report, which will be up by Friday, so you'll know where to go and what to do, and we'll be getting lots of reports. So talk to you then. Bye bye.